Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm A.J. Malaraño, president and co-founder of Cingala Consulting and the host of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests live every week, 11 a.m. Central Time, and on demand through our website at cingalaconsulting.com, and you can also download through iTunes. Today's a very interesting topic, using data to drive innovation. And maybe the topic isn't as interesting as the industry. We're bringing the automotive industry into our radio show today, and Rock Irving is going to be our guest, and he is from cars.com, and we're going to talk about how they use their data and the types of reporting and information that they're able to obtain from their users, and then how they use it to really prioritize and define their innovative ways of interacting and communicating to their customers. Oftentimes, we are talking with our healthcare executives about we're not always competing with other healthcare systems. We're competing against other experiences that our patients, our providers, and our caregivers have on a daily basis. So that of which in online banking, for example, or any other e-commerce through maybe Amazon or searches through cars.com. So I figured that bringing Rock in today and discussing what they're doing in a totally different industry, however, it still relates because it's online interaction and they know their customers just like we are expected to know our patients. So Rock Irving is the Senior Manager of Data Products at cars.com, where he is responsible for the innovation, management, and growth of cars.com data-driven advertising products and data partnerships. His clients include many of the largest auto manufacturers in the world, regional dealer associations, dealer groups, and automotive dealers. Rock is a colleague were given the green light to launch the data products team in late 2011. Under the direction of the newly formed data products team, cars.com annualized revenue from data advertising products has grown over 2,000%. Data advertising products are now a significant revenue source for cars.com and a focus of the company's long-term growth. So with that, I wanted to welcome you, Rock, to the show. How are you this morning?
Hey, AJ, thanks for having me. I'm doing very well. I've got about 2 or 3 cups of coffee in me, and I'm ready to go.
Awesome. This will be exciting. So, Rock, give us a little bit of background on your own background and how you ended up at cars.com.
Yeah, for sure. So I definitely didn't start at cars.com from a straight shot from college. So I actually had my initial start in my professional career in financial services. I was doing investment strategy at a pretty large bank here in Chicago. I left that to do emerging markets private equity for a stint. That was really interesting. And actually then went on to attend grad school at University of Chicago, the Booth School of Business. And when I was there, started a cloud computing business with a classmate, but that was 2008. Is not the best time to be looking for investment dollars. So I shuttered a cloud computing business with my classmate in around 2010. And that's when I started at cars.com as a part of our strategy group. And one of my responsibilities was to find new opportunities for the company. And that's where, you know, like you talked about in the intro, that's where a colleague and I uncovered this tremendous potential for the concept of using our data as an asset, where we could continue to build new products from it, as opposed to just using our data as a way to kind of check in on the business.
Got it.
Yeah.
So for our audience, I don't know if it's as interesting to them as it is to me personally, but I thought that the way that you and I met was very interesting, in that a classmate of mine, Stacy Bolton, introduced us and thought that that we would hit it off and from our technology background on the interactive side of things. But I also found it even more interesting how you met your quote-unquote cousin, Stacy, in a meeting when you were here in Chicago. You got to share that again with me. So the two of you, not really knowing each other, but have heard of each other, walk into a room and take it from there.
Yeah. So I'm. This was the first day of my internship, many years ago, and we walk into a room, and my mom told me, and you guys know how this goes. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee.
Right.
My mom says, when you're in Chicago, you should find your cousin. He works in financial services too. And I said, oh, okay, good. I'll do that, Mom. And I walk into the first meeting on the first day in my internship, and I look across the table, and there's a guy sitting across the table who looked a lot like my uncles. And I walk up to him after the meeting, and I said, hey, would you happen to know, I said the name of his mom. And
right.
He looked at me and he says, yeah, that's my mom. And I said, yeah, we're cousins. So, yeah, after about 2 minutes of hugging and catching up in the lobby, we really started to form a relationship. So it was pretty cool.
What a great story. So back to cars.com. For those of us that aren't aware, tell us how the concept of cars.com works and more from the buyer's perspective and then from a dealer perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. So cars.com is one of the largest online marketplaces, quite honestly, in the world. We've got about 5.5 million vehicles listed on our site, and that comes from dealers, obviously, and we also list vehicles that private parties are selling. And so as a consumer, what we provide is one single touch point where a consumer can basically do research for all sorts of cars, from the smallest car to an ultra luxury car. And that's really the appeal for a consumer. So you can basically kind of shop around your entire city without leaving your living room. So that's a great win for consumers. From the dealer side, and this is what most folks don't know about the company, is that we don't hold inventory, right? We act as a provider of marketing services for dealerships. And so, dealers basically sign on with us, they subscribe to our service, and they put their inventory on our site. And we, like I was talking about before, we bring the car shopping audience to them. And that's at a very high level, those are our two main sides of our business.
And do you find that you interact more with the dealers or more with the buyers? And I don't necessarily mean directly interact, but, I guess your focus on what you're developing and how you're marketing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point. So the key to a marketplace, right, is like you got to have people there selling things, but you also have to have a lot of people there looking to buy things. And so from a company standpoint, our priority number one is serving the car shopper, right? We understand the dealers and the brands and the manufacturers. Those guys pay the bills, but if we don't have anyone there to look at their cars, then they'll quickly stop paying the bills. So our number one touch point is getting the right people to come to the site, and consume our services.
So tell us a little bit about what your day-to-day responsibilities are. I mean, I kind of went through it in bio, but let's bring it down to like third grade level here. What do you do on a day-to-day basis, and how does it impact or influence those buyers that you just discussed?
Yeah, absolutely. So in my responsibilities, my first and probably one of our largest responsibilities is making sure we are setting and kind of internally and externally selling the vision for advertising products that are relevant to the user and the client, so relevant to both, you know, the consumer who's coming to the site and the dealer, ads that are useful to the user and the client. And we always shoot for the ads to look good. So we want to make sure our marketing efforts are looking good to both our users and our clients. The next thing we're responsible for is making sure we're managing our data partnerships. And I can talk a bit more about this if we think it's relevant, but we do have data partnerships that we use, both from a marketing side and from a product side, that basically
tell
uses
us more about that.
All...
What's a data partner? Or
yeah,
who is
yeah.
a data partner? Give an example.
Right. So for instance, on our marketing efforts, we might very well say, "Hey, look, we're going to use an agency, right? We're going to go out and try to get more users to come to our site, but it's really important that these people are in the market to buy a car, right? So what we can do is basically say we can start from a point of who comes to our site." Right, so you know, we get about 20 million people a month come to our site, so we can start at that massive data set, and then we can say from those 20 million people, who are the people who take the actions on the site that we most value, right? So that's obviously things like reaching out to the dealer, right, sending the dealer an email. That's things like looking at a lot of vehicles, because our research shows that if someone looks at a lot of vehicles, and a lot being like 10 in one session. That these are the people who are most likely to go out and buy a car, right? They're really serious shoppers. And so this is just to translate for the folks listening, most of the time when I'm talking about data, I'm talking about audience data, right? So we can then kind of segment that audience data and say, who are the people who are most valuable? Put those folks in one segment, and then start to layer on things like demographic information, psychographic information, and that's, you know, demographic, that's things like household income, where they live, rural or city. Psychographic.
And just to be clear, you're gathering, they're not giving you that data. You're gathering that data from their IP address or something like that, or, you know, whatever other kind of online transaction that they're doing.
Yeah. So yeah. Thanks for slowing me down. All right. So we're certainly not asking them those questions. And actually, quite honestly, I think when we're talking about something like buying a car, and I would say in some cases in healthcare as well, the demographic info is not very important, right? You're either going to buy the car or you're not. In healthcare, you either, you know, need our services or you don't, right? So we're basically starting off with the right pool of people who we've identified, who we like, and we basically want to, like, reach out to more of those people. And we use other data providers. And so, you know, I can list some of those if you think it's useful. But
so let me ask you that. Let me play out a scenario here. So
absolutely.
You've got someone out there who has searched for 10 cars.
That's
so
right.
You know automatically, okay, these guys are probably pretty interested in purchasing something. Do you use the demographic and their prior searches to then push data or push information out to them? So if you know their demographic, you're going to give them a Cadillac versus a Prius based on their demographic or no?
Yeah. So that's not based on the demographics, but based on what they actually search for. Right. So we can just capture what people search for. Like you just said, you know, one person looks at a Cadillac. When they leave the site, if we want to get those people back to our site, we're going to show them an ad with pretty much the Cadillac they looked for and basically say, hey, remember this Cadillac? Do you still need it? Here are two or three more like it. That's the type
right.
of retargeting we do to get people back back to our site. Now,
right.
the
and
other
that
side
does
of that
not,
is,
that, go ahead.
Yeah. But the other side of that is, if we want to find more Cadillac shoppers, right? So like we want to expand our audience, we want more people to come to our site. We can basically take that Cadillac shopper and use data from other sources to say, what is this person's household income? What are their other things that they're interested in? And can I then go out and advertise to those people who are this is what we call lookalikes. So those people who are lookalikes, so we can bring more Cadillac shoppers into the site.
So think about that in the healthcare world.
Yeah.
And let's talk about like elective procedures, not necessarily.
Oh, I was hoping
that,
we would
you know,
do that.
Somebody, if somebody you know had a heart attack, you pretty much know what you have to do there. But something elective, whether that's plastic surgery, bariatric, those types of things, where most cases the patients are electing, to go in to do this.
Absolutely.
If you can find them somehow shopping on your site or other sites and be able to use that same scenario that you just did, looking for lookalikes, boy, that would be powerful, wouldn't it?
Yeah. AJ, that would be incredibly powerful. And the great part about it is it's 100% doable. So, I mean, without, breaking open the websites of the folks listening to the recording, you can basically say, hey, look, what are those procedures that we want to hone in on, right? So let's take the plastic surgery, right? Let's say rhinoplasty, I don't know. So if we say we want to bring more folks in like this person, what we can do is basically say, let's track who these people are and let's try to figure out what they have in common, because if they all, for instance, like a certain magazine, or if they all, have this household income, or it's more this gender versus that. If they start to look alike, then what you can do is put together a customer sort of persona, where you could say, this is the group we want to hit hard, kind of with a branding or sort of consideration message to say, when. Not if, but like when you are looking to do this procedure, we're the place to go.
We're doing a webinar on May 21st where we discuss 7 ways to turn your call center into a revenue center. And if you think about, we're always talking about cross care and up care. And if you think about that same scenario where if how powerful it would be for the call center agent or the website in a healthcare environment to have that information, to know that, okay, this person meets that lookalike criteria that we just discussed, we should be offering them this service or this product.
Right.
And, I probably count on one hand how many healthcare organizations across the country are even capable of doing something like that. But that's how we have to start looking in order to differentiate yourself, in this very competitive industry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about, the whole gist of this conversation was about how you use data to really provide innovative solutions to things. So, in your bio, we talked about how you've increased revenue there by 2,000%. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about how you're using the data to change the product or the services that you guys are offering.
Yeah, absolutely. So we, I think the best way to go, like we can just, we'll start at the beginning. So the product that, the revenue generating product that my team manages, basically takes, We track everyone who comes on the site, but whatever they do on the site, we catalog that information, so we keep that. And when they leave our site, We can serve them ads on behalf of our clients that are incredibly targeted to what they care about. So let's think about that for a second, right? So you've come to cars.com. You've come to cars.com and you said, here are all the things I care about, right? I'm shopping for, let's keep the Toyota Prius, right? It's like, I'm shopping for a Prius. I've played around with the price bands, right? So it's like I've played around with everything from, you know, $18,000 to $30,000. I'm looking for these years. Yeah, I conducted this many searches. So we can pull all that together, and then when you leave the site, we can start to say, hey, look, I recognize this person, and this is all through technology that's widely available to anyone who's plugged into Google. We use, you know, some more custom systems because it's a big business for us. But when you leave the site, you can basically say, hey, look, I want to target, so a dealer could say, or Toyota themselves could say, I want to target people who are looking at this Prius, right? And so we would say, all right, we know people who are looking at Prius, so if we can see them when they're online, then we can serve them the proper ad. The part where it gets really, really interesting is us saying, let's just not serve them any ad. Let's make the ad dynamic to serve them the message that they care about and to serve them information on the cars they care about. So what do we mean by that? So remember earlier, AJ, when we were talking about, like, you know, shopping preferences, shopping behavior, psychographics, demographics, and all this good stuff. So we can basically pull all those things together and start to create custom segments. And a good example of that would be, all right, I want to target Toyota Prius shoppers in Chicago. So, all right, that's pretty good. But what if when it came time to show this person an ad, I can only put in or I can actually make a decision automatically to say, only show this person a Prius, show this person a Prius in the price range and the color that they care about. Oh, and by the way, we saw when they were on our site that they looked at reviews. So let's make it easy for them to access reviews. So this would all be within a simple ad. Like, these are the things that, I mean, these are ads we all see every day because the internet, for the most part, is free, right? So ads fund the internet. And so we can basically surface information that says, here's what you care about. Here's the vehicle. Here's what you care about with the dealership. Here are a couple of reviews on the dealership. Here are things like service hours, because that's useful. If you want to scroll and look at more vehicles like it, you can do all of that stuff. And we're allowing our users to do that within the ad.
So you're making that ad, like you said, is very dynamic and very personalized to that person's prior experience.
Absolutely.
Now, here's a question for you, and I don't know if you're able to answer this or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway. you know, I'm thinking healthcare world. I'm thinking how competitive it is, especially here in Chicago. If am I able to serve ads or contact patients that if they were looking for a service at a competitor? So, for example, and I don't know who the biggest competitor of cars.com is, but I don't know. Who is cars.com biggest competitor?
AJ, I won't even give them the pleasure.
All right. Okay.
I'm not even going to say who they are.
All right. So let's say XYZ is their is the competitor. And if I'm surfing there or I'm searching there, are you able to obtain information somehow that you know, hey, I know that AJ is in the market for a car. He didn't come to our site, but I know he's in the market for the car. Are you able to do that, or I guess are you even able to answer that question?
Yeah, absolutely. So I can't answer it. I would look at this slightly differently. So can you do it? The answer to that depends on whether that site is, for instance, plugged into, like, you know, Google, right? Because some sites do ads, and that's how Google kind of plugs in and says, hey, we need to classify your site. You know, we need to, like, know what type of site this is. So you can get a sense of who's looking at what from that. But from what I've seen, you know, most healthcare sites don't have advertising, right? So it's not a ton of use putting Google up. So I would doubt that you can do it that way. However, the way you can do it is by using Google, because we using Google and their services. So we all know that people use Google like a directory, right? So even if you know what you're looking for, I mean, you go to Google anyway. And so what Google can do is basically, you know, pull in keywords, so you can do, you know, you can do kind of those ads on the side, but you can also kind of pull, Google also buckets people by interest. So Google can basically see who's searching for what and where they go after the search. So you might not be able to get as specific as this person went to this part of, you know, Hospital X's website, but you might be able to say, like, who are the people looking for, let's stick with rhinoplasty, right? Like, who are those people in the Chicago area? And Google, I'm willing to, you know, pay a decent amount of money to put ads out for those people. So there's a way to do it. It's just not, I don't think it's going to be as precise as you might like.
Now, we only have a couple more minutes left in the show, but there's one question I want to make sure that we, or two more questions, actually. One is how do you integrate your traditional and your new marketing initiatives? Meaning, you know, how, is it even possible to personalize and customize your traditional marketing and advertising in ways that you are doing, that you just described doing it online?
Yeah. So that's a tough question, right? I mean, it's on the one hand, we want to be have a consistent brand message, and I know we've talked about this a lot. You want to be consistent throughout all of your advertising, but on the other hand, we want to kind of be, you know, relevant, right? We want to be really targeted with how we approach people. So I think the first thing is to, you know, kind of develop that consistent brand message, you know, something that's consistent, memorable, strong, and just realize that whatever I do, I want to kind of pull people back to that brand message, right? And I think the next step is to not necessarily look at marketing in terms of media type, but start to look at it in terms of objectives, right? So we've got, like, branding objective, you got consideration objectives, so meaning people are kind of sort of thinking about something, and then you've got, like, conversion, meaning they're ready to go, you just want to make sure they choose you. And so if we think about it like that, then we can say, all right, let's get that one strong brand message, let's get that out there, and using radio, TV, billboards, bus stops, untargeted online, like, all that stuff is good for branding. Because whether you're looking for rhinoplasty or not, it's like you get to know who's the premier place to go. And then you get into that more like consideration. That's what we were talking about before. Like, these are people who are actually looking for rhinoplasty, and you can start to target them in ways we talked about before. So you want to start to trim that audience down, right? Let's think about Chicago. It's 4 million people. Yeah, 4 million Chicagoland. Yeah. But number of people looking at rhinoplasty, let's say that might be 200,000 folks. So we want to trim that down, and I'm willing to pay you more money now, whoever I'm talking to get to that audience. And then the conversions get tough, especially for healthcare, because rightfully so, it's a face-to-face business, right? So conversions get tough. Like, people don't like swipe their credit card online to buy, you know, to buy a surgery. So conversion gets pretty tough. But I like to keep using this example, right? So let's say at Hospital X, actually, if you don't mind, I'll switch the example. So let's say at Hospital X, their messaging for, like, you know, prenatal and OBGYNs, let's say their messaging is like Hospital X, where our OBGYNs are the best at making sure mommy and baby are doing well. Like, all right, that's pretty cool. So you want to put that all over Chicago, right? Spend a lot of money on that. That's cool. But for the 4,000 people in Chicago, about 200,000 might be looking, let's say 100,000 are pregnant right now. And so then you want to, like, narrow that message down and pay a lot of money to get after those pregnant women to remind them that we're the place where we keep mommy and baby doing well. And so, you know, you target those pregnancy online magazines, all that stuff. And then you get to the conversion and you say, boom, this might be someone answering the phone at your hospital like you talked about before. And they say, welcome to Hospital X. We're the place where OBGYNs are the best at making sure
right.
mommy and baby are fine. And so you bring everything back to that same message, but it's definitely possible to integrate your traditional and your online. You just have to make sure you connect it with something.
So let me wrap up today by asking the question from the outside, and I'll let our audience know that you do not have, you know, healthcare experiences as far from the business side of things. And what would you say healthcare can learn from your industry based on what you've heard and what we've discussed today? What's the give me 15 seconds of what you think they can do differently.
Yeah, absolutely. I think putting emphasis on the data that you can use is going to be the best possible route. So most marketers know who their people are, and they know who you want to gain access to and how you want to message. Just really, really being disciplined about saying, these are the people I care about, and I will get them no matter the media type, no matter online, offline, and just really starting to use that data in a way that both personalizes but keeps you true to your brand.
Good. Rock,
yeah.
I can't thank you enough. This has been very insightful for me, and I know our audience, which a majority of them are healthcare. We're always looking for ways to do it differently in the healthcare industry and look to industry like yours and what you guys have done at Cars.com to really change the way that we interact with our patients and caregivers and physicians. So with that, thank you very much for your time today.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Join us next week when we will discuss the value of online marketing in healthcare. Thanks, everyone, and have a wonderful rest of the week.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingulaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.